T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
And welcome to Overnight America. All right, yeah. Welcome into the show. And thanks to everyone that's been listening online. People have been doing the podcast. We're going to check in with Chris Raby at the winter meetings. And you just heard him wrap up his coverage during the Cardinals Radio Network time there, which is pretty cool. So we'll check in with him a little bit after the break. I don't know why it's got to be so cold around the office today, too. I haven't quite figured that out. Is this how women feel all the time when they walk into an office? Every single time I've worked in an office where it just gets a little chilly, this is what you see. The space heaters come out. There's always these little space heaters running underneath the desks. The wearing the sweaters, the cardigans or whatnot, and walking around perhaps sometimes even with the winter jacket. And I feel like I've turned the corner on something like that. Lots to get to on the show here tonight. And there was an opinion piece that was written about Michael Vick that I wanted to talk a little bit about it because, you know, when you this is what happens when, what's the term? When all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, and there are some opinion writers that try to force racism into every single little thing that they find, and it happens to be another one of those cases. So we're going to talk about that, too, and just how tiresome it gets when these sort of opinion pieces get some sort of notoriety online. Also want to talk about Prince Andrew's accuser putting a tweet out. This is interesting, a preemptive tweet. It goes to put a little credence into the question of, wow, that's weird that so many people seem to commit suicide right before they are set to break open a case against a high-profile person, let it be the Clintons or Epstein in this case. And there was a little weird cryptic thing that came out based on what one of the accusers said that we're going to cover in a little bit. Also, road construction happening in St. Louis. I'm already not looking forward to that time of year. Auditor Nicole Galloway wants some changes for the special tax districts in St. Louis, which is an important thing to do, mostly because how many times have you seen reports? And I'll tell you that Kevin Colleen has done a great job on this. Charlie Brennan has done a great job on this, pointing out some of these places where you can go into the restaurant and you look at your receipt and it says, okay, after you add all the taxes up, 11, 12% taxes tacked onto it. Are you kidding me? 11, 12% in taxes? It's not a Missouri thing. It's a St. Louis thing. And Auditor Nicole Galloway did an interview. I want to talk about that. Next hour, this is going to be fascinating because there's a lot of stories and a lot of blaming of police in today's society. Lance LaRusso is a former law enforcement officer and author of the book When Cops Kill in Blue News. It's an interesting take on how politicians jump on police officers so quickly, just like you would see normally in any sort of opinion piece online where they don't really align with facts, but they align with their own biases and hatred towards police to begin with. So we'll talk to Lance LaRusso coming up in the next hour. We're going to take an early break and we'll hook up with Chris Raby coming up next on Overnight America KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
The winter meetings are here. And by all account, winter is here too. Cold in St. Louis today. I want to welcome in KMOX sports reporter Chris Raby. Checking in all the way from California. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys? Winter is not here in San Diego yet, and going to cling to that for a couple of days, but all is well.
This is so cool. So the winter meeting sponsored by Goodwill. Donate a car to Goodwill for 4 free Cardinals tickets, which is pretty cool. You know, and as you spend more and more days around the different likes, the decision makers in baseball, you know, some of the players, the former players, and you get this sort of feeling, it starts to become real that we're just getting so much closer to the next baseball season. I'm curious how you're feeling this year compared to some of the other years you've covered the winter meetings.
Yeah, well, as a baseball fan, I feel great because we're actually seeing some movement in the market in the last couple of years, not just, you know, the marquee free agents, but just a lot of the player movement has gone into the next calendar year and even past that with Bryce Harper, you know, maybe the marquee guy of last year, along with Manny Machado signing during spring training, with guys like Craig Kimbrel and Dallas Keuchel waiting until after June 1st to sign last year. And we're not only seeing a lot of player movement, Ryan, but we're seeing big, big, big names. The two biggest pitchers have both signed this week, and they set sequential records with Steven Strasburg signing for $245 million on Monday, and then Gerrit Cole signing for $324 million yesterday. Cool. Actually, was running a couple minutes late because we just finished chatting with their agent, Scott Boras, the biggest agent probably in all of sports, mm-hmm. A couple of minutes ago. So he's been very busy. And I think we're going to start to see that really continue to move the market along. I mean, as a Cardinal fan, I think that you didn't expect to be in on any of those guys. And you hope that the Cardinals, you know, take steps to improve the team. But I have to imagine that, you know, they have probably more clarity leaving the meetings this year than they have the last couple of years in terms of how they are going to improve their team and what it's going to take to improve their team, just because we've seen the market start to move.
Yeah. You know, what's Claiborne doing right now, by the way?
Oh, he's in very serious meetings. Yeah. Yeah. We actually just wrapped up, as folks know, if they were listening, we just finished with our first Cardinal Countdown to Opening Day show presented by Ameren. We had a great show tonight to kick things off. So, we just left the hotel and are headed to get a little something to eat and then start to get organized for tomorrow.
Awesome. You know, I wonder, too, about some of the different rule changes that they discussed during these things.
Yeah.
Is there anything that stands out that would affect gameplay of what you would see, maybe important gameplay here for the Cardinals?
Yeah, certainly. So there are two rules that have been really talked about, and Commissioner Manfred today said that they are on the road to being implemented for next year. The first is that any relief pitcher that comes in is going to have to face a minimum of 3 batters. No longer can you come in, just face one guy, and then make a pitching change. You've got to face at least 3 batters. Mm-hmm. So that will go into effect next year. That will change, obviously, not only how you manage a game, batter to batter, but how you manage a bullpen. And the second change is that rosters will be expanded so the teams can carry a 26th player, and that will be in effect for the entire year. The rules will change in September in terms of call-ups, but for a team like the Cardinals, you know, we talked with John Mozeliak today and tonight about what that does for them and what that does for a player like Jose Martinez, you know, because Jose is a guy who is very, very proficient offensively, but at times has found himself on the bench because he's a defensive liability. But now that you have the extra player, perhaps the Cardinals would be inclined to keep Jose Martinez on their roster. It has to be a position player. So keep Jose Martinez on their roster as a pinch hitter. Mm-hmm. And as someone who, under the old rules with 25 guys, you know, maybe you would have had to think about moving him to an American League team.
You know, you're going to have to help me with this pitching rule change, because I don't quite understand why it would change. What's the rationale behind that?
Pace of play. Pace of play. They don't want, you know, 10 pitching changes and change pitchers every single batter in the 7th and 8th and 9th inning. So, you know, now if you make a pitching change and a reliever comes in, they've got to face at least 3 guys.
So what do you think the rotation is going to look like? We saw that trade to the Mets earlier with Michael Wacha. And how do you think that's going to
look? Not a trade. He was a free agent.
Oh, free agent. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So he signed with the Mets, a 1-year deal. I think that'll be a great deal for Wacha and for the Mets. $3 million. He can earn up to $10 million in incentives. So you're right, though. That leaves the Cardinals right now with Jack Flaherty, Miles Michaelis, Dakota Hudson, and Adam Wainwright. Those guys all under contract. for next year and all returning to the Cardinals, you will have a variety of guys then competing for roles, whether it be Daniel Ponce de Leon, who filled in and was very good at times as a fifth starter this year. Carlos Martinez, who was the closer and is treating this offseason as he is, well, is undertaking this offseason as he is preparing to come to camp as a starter. Mm-hmm. We'll see how he is physically, but that's the plan. Alex Reyes, who's missed, you know, most of the last 3 years rehabbing from injury. He's in his first offseason since, I guess, 2015, where he's not rehabbing from an injury. Minor leaguers like Austin Gomber, who dealt with injuries last year. Jake Woodford, who was fantastic in AAA. Ryan Helsley, who was a starter until he dealt with some injuries in 2018 and then was unbelievable. Maybe the best Cardinals arm out of the bullpen in the playoffs last year. So, you know, injuries happen and nothing's ever certain, but they'll come to camp with 12 starters because you need that in terms of the game and the scheduling. And I think right now, if all goes well and knock on wood, there are no injury issues. Flaherty, Hudson, Michaelis, and Wainwright are in there. And then, you know, probably Carlos and inside track and then probably everybody else after that.
Chris Raby joining us from the winter meetings. I saw on the MLB Network that it sounds like the Reds have some interest in Marcell Ozuna. What do you hear any rumblings about certain players that may be making some future moves?
I think Cole was the big one. And really, honestly, everyone seemed to be of a collective mindset that once Gerrit Cole landed, that would really open everything up. Because then, you know, the two big pitchers would be off the board. You would have teams then pivot to other players, both in free agency and the trade market. You would, you know, start to see some position players move probably because the teams that were super, super focused on Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburg would start to look elsewhere. You know, we were told that Scott Boras, they took all of their meetings before the winter meetings and in some cases before Thanksgiving in terms of those two big guys. So now that both those guys have landed and they make up, you know, more than a half $1 billion in contracts, I honestly think, not to dodge the question, but I honestly think now we'll start to see some more movement and we'll start to see it fairly rapidly because teams that did not end up with those guys who now have needs and who now have money to spend will turn elsewhere. And, you know, the wheels will start to turn a little bit more rapidly.
Here's another really big question for you, because as you return from the winter meetings back to St. Louis, you're going to be playing the romantic lead in the KMOX holiday radio show. Are you ready for that on Monday?
Yeah, I'm going to be studying my script the entire flight back on Friday. It's a long flight, so I figured, you know, I'll really dive into it then. You know, a lot of pressure. I know you have had a prominent role in this, so do you have any tips for me in terms of how to woo and charm and really knock it out of the park for our KMOX holiday radio audience?
Yeah, we have some scenes together, which I'm pretty excited for. But the whole idea of
those aren't romantically inclined, are they?
They are not, but I do have some fatherly advice for you. So I play the dad in this one.
Oh, you're my dad?
Well, no, I am Amy's dad. So she brings you to the dinner, and we have some nice dinner conversations there.
Sounds like you are very familiar with the script, Wrecker.
I am somewhat familiar because I've read about half of it, and this part of the play happens right near the front of it. So I was able to read some of that. It's a fantastic, fantastic script from Kevin
does
Kalinas
a great job. Do our lines come highlighted, or do I need to do that myself?
You need to pick up a highlighter for the plane ride, because that'll help. Because you need to do all
okay,
of that.
Okay, well, my script is in the sports office.
Oh,
so
yeah, well, you can't do much
that
there.
It might be an issue.
How are you going to practice your lines on the plane then? Do you have a digital copy of it?
Well, I clearly wasn't going to do that anyway.
Oh, that would have been the right time to do it, though. You could have had the person sitting next to you give you some tips or let you know if you're convincing.
Okay, I spent like an entire first segment of my show talking about sky pigging recently and people eating food on planes that shouldn't be eaten on planes and how rude that is. I think asking someone to practice lines with you would be just about as rude as sky pigging. You know what? I would rather the person next to me take down a platter of nachos at 35,000 feet than ask me to play opposite them as they prepare for a role. And it's nothing against, you know, the KMOX Holiday Radio Show. Also, I'm a method actor, Ryan, and I really believe that, you know, I show up, I get in character, I want no biases, no outside influences impacting me when I'm on stage. So I really think that just, you know, I'll need to just kind of dive into the character head first when it's time.
Yeah.
And, you know, the theater will speak to me when it is time.
Isn't that right? When you're up on that stage, the theater just speaks stage. To you.
Stage.
Yeah. What day are you coming back?
Friday.
Oh, Friday. Okay. So you got a couple of days.
So, there. I mean, also, if Kevin wants to send me a digital copy of the script, then maybe, you know, we can get a little rap session with my seatmate on the flight on the way back.
Super secret. Well, maybe you could play this to your advantage. Maybe you're sitting next to someone attractive and you can say, oh, I'm part of this play. It makes you look highbrow. And then you can use that as leverage in order to enjoy the rest of your flight together to get to know that person a little better.
Would that be as impressive as if I said, I'm part of this old-timey AM holiday radio show?
Well, if you say you're part of the Cardinals, that sounds pretty good, too.
There we go.
Yeah, you're probably going to be wearing Cardinals shirts, yeah, with the logoed items on your collared shirt or whatever. Oh, that will impress.
Come on, man. I'm a professional. Come on, man.
You wouldn't use that to leverage a little bit of, you know, at least the start of the conversation?
You know, I could wear my 2013 NL Champions ring. We could do that.
Yes. You need to. Why not? What, you have a ring?
Yeah, I'm 13.
That's awesome.
The organization gives them to the broadcasters. Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, did you bring it with you?
To the meetings?
Yeah.
No, I should have. All right, so if you want to overnight my ring and my script to me, then we'll really be cooking with gas on the flight on the way home.
All right,
like
Chris Raby.
Layup City.
So you have some more updates. Are you going to be checking in with the crew tomorrow during the day?
Yeah, we'll be on all day tomorrow from San Diego. And again, on tomorrow night, Sports Open Line at 6:15. And yeah, everything is going up on the website and social media. I got to give Ben Boyd a lot of credit. Mike Anderson's helping us out. And also Sam Masterson's doing an incredible job getting up videos, photos. There's all sorts of stuff at KMOX.com and on our social media at KMOX Sports that you can check out. So, you know, we should have some more fun tomorrow. Who knows? Maybe something else crazy will happen tonight. We'll go from there.
Chris Raby at the winter meetings. Hey, thanks for checking in with us here on Overnight America.
All right. See you guys. Thanks.
Very cool. Good old Chris Raby, man. I'm really looking forward to the KMOX Holiday Radio Show. We do the rehearsal during the day on Monday. I feel like I'll get a chance to catch up with him when he gets back into town, which is super exciting. But if you haven't got your tickets yet for that holiday radio show, you better do it. And you know Chris Raby will be ready to go. And if you want to see us have this scene together, yeah, I play the dad, and I'm the dad of Amy Markscores. And part of this is Amy and Chris and the relationship and the romanticism. Is that a word? They have this. I don't want to ruin anything for you. Honestly, what you have to do is get the tickets. You're going to love it. I'm telling you, just like every single year, Kevin just does a fantastic job of putting this whole thing together. KMOX.com, right on the website. If you go to KMOX.com/events, you can get some links to find some ticket information there as well. Well worth it. And I hope to see you Monday night. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I might get in trouble for sharing this, but can I share something with you, Producer Mike? I should have told you off air that I was going to say this, but hopefully it's okay. I don't think it's too bad. You know how you were telling me about this one girl you've gone out with a couple of dates?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I told my son about it, and you know what my son said? He said, message him to let him know next time we're going to be in St. Charles. Because he wants to meet her, my kid, my five-year-old. It's like, what? Why do you want to do that? He's like, I don't know. Just message him so we can meet up while we're
there.
You
know what? I'll take that. Actually, I mean, I think that could help.
You think it would?
Well, little kids definitely don't hurt.
He was really into it. He said, "Oh, I want to meet her," and then he said he wanted to play Uno because he loved the possibility of other people playing Uno with him. And he said, "Message Producer Mike and let him know we're going to be there Saturday afternoon." I said, okay.
Ever since I gave Emmett that Blue City Deli sticker, I've really had him in my back pocket for situations just like this.
So you want to use him much like someone would use like a puppy dog in a park?
No. I mean, in a friend way. Like, we're on equal terms.
Oh, yeah. He's all about it.
So, when I met him at the Stanley Cup day, you know, I was the one that had to bend down and talk to him. I don't expect him to rise up to speak to me. We're on equal levels here.
But I thought you would like to hear that. I was explaining to him that you guys like to go to some similar places that we go to. And he said, well, message him and let him know when we're going to be there. He wants to meet her.
Well,
and then I had to explain to him what a date was. Like, oh, that's interesting.
Huh.
To explain to a 5-year-old, he's, what's a date?
So he's going to come home tomorrow with a date.
I hope not at 5. Well, that'd be an interesting conversation.
About 4 or 5, to be honest.
People love him in school. Like, all the other kids in the classroom love him. I don't want to say he's a ladies' man, but we hear from other parents, like, oh, she talks about him all the time when she's back home at the house. Oh, that's interesting. And he has had love letters written to him from other girls.
Yeah, I remember he had a pretty epic response, right?
Well, there was another time they were at the McDonald's play place. I forgot which one this was. And he's playing with this other girl. I'm trying to remember how it played out. But we were leaving, and the girl said, don't ever forget me. And my son said, I've already forgotten about you, and I'll never think of you again, or something like that. Just broke her heart, just right in half. Crack! Ah! You can see her. She grabbed her chest. She went, ah! You can tell that one hurt. But he's a little heartbreaker. He is. So maybe you need to take advice from him. If only I was that romantic at the age of 5, maybe I would have been better equipped for the rest of my life to not be so awkward around women. Luckily, I'm married. I don't have to worry about that anymore.
Maybe we can get him on as a weekly segment. He can give us love advice.
Oh, great idea. Love the idea. I'll ask him. I'll run that by him, see what he thinks.
Okay.
May take a lot of candy to get him to be motivated to do that. Then again, my wife probably wouldn't like that either. But we'll see. I like the idea. You're thinking.
Yeah.
Love advice from a 5-year-old. Thank you, Producer Mike. There was this one story. It was some opinion piece by the author Beth Sherhaus. And this is the title for it. And it's getting, and I'm sorry I even have to bring this up. It's stupid to begin with, but you see this all the time, and it's really ridiculous. Here's the title. If you still hate Michael Vick, you might be racist. This stems from the petition that came out just last week. The petition to the NFL that said maybe Michael Vick is not the best representation for the league to be your honorary captain. That's going to be happening. It's a Pro Bowl game or something like that. So he's the former Atlanta Falcons football quarterback. He went to jail for dogfighting. I mean, he had all kinds of animals on his property. I mean, he was electrocuting, torturing these animals, fighting these animals. He went to jail, came out of jail, and then wanted to play for the league again. And guess what? They gave him a chance. That's what happens when you have the ability and you have the remorse and you're able to make amends in that sense. Teams gave him a shot. He went to play for the Eagles. He went to play for, he played for some other teams too. But either way, when he came out of jail, he was still very talented. He played the rest of his career up until the last couple of years. But now it's resurfacing. We're going to put this guy up on a pedestal and we're going to say this guy is worthy of being the honorary captain as if no history whatsoever happened to him. And he's always been an example. He's always been this perfect model of what an NFL player should be. And for the NFL's got a terrible, terrible track record of doing this to players. And when I was working in Ohio, it was the reputation of the Cincinnati Bengals. They said, we're just going to hire everyone that no one else wants because of their track record. And you know what? They had somewhat of a successful retread of some of these players. In general, you see certain players, you know, like here in Kansas City, there was a issue with the running back and he went and tried to go play somewhere else. And, there was the issue there. You had issues where, you know, players were finding that they beat their kids. There was one where there's a video of him beating his girlfriend in an elevator. There's, you know, people that actually killed other people in the league too. But you know, the thing is, sometimes these players get second chances and sometimes they don't. And sometimes they're allowed to do their thing after they show remorse or whatever it is. To me, the agreement of a player between a team and whatever, that's their business. If they want to bring him on, they can. To me, the biggest, the if you look at Colin Kaepernick, for example, the biggest evidence that the guy's not equipped to play is that no one wants him, all right? After all these other players that had second chances for doing a lot worse, that were able to go out there and play and still no one wants him, it tells you something, all right? So let me put this out there. The article comes out, if you still hate Michael Vick, you might be racist. Race has nothing to do with it. Maybe trying to put certain former players on some sort of a pedestal to say that these are the role models of the league that we should be looking up to. You know, ones that were torturing animals on their property and went to federal prison is the wrong message to send. But sometimes you get these opinion columnists that are going out there and saying, no, 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 can't be any other reason. Can't be any absolute no other reason besides you're just a racist, terrible person because you are white and you can't accept that he's black. And they try to bring race and they try to force race into these issues because, you know, I guess people talk about it, but it's nonsense. I'm going to read a portion of this opinion piece, and I want to open the phone lines for you at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So I'm just going to read a portion of this. You can look it up online if you want to Google search author Beth Schraus. It says, as the Atlanta Falcons football team celebrated its regular season closer at the Georgia Dome January 1st, 2017, former Falcons quarterback Michael Vick paid a visit. He was greeted with a standing ovation by the crowd. But Vick's return to football have been far from universally celebrated. More than 30,000 people signed a change.org petition demanding that Vick be excluded from the January 1st celebration on account of his 2007 conviction for dogfighting. Vick seems to have known about and participated in some of the animal torture in addition to financially benefiting from the fights themselves. In the rescue community, there's a vast number of people who are willing to bend over backwards to save and rehabilitate dogs, including the dogs who, because of the abuse they suffered, are aggressive towards other dogs and people. Plenty of people like to emphasize the traumatized animals, but somehow that empathy often doesn't extend to other human beings, particularly black people, many of whom have been traumatized by poverty and white supremacy. Isn't this amazing how she flips it right back? You know, the guy was torturing, electrocuting, killing, fighting dogs, and doing all of this and touting it and doing it for how many years? And he gets caught for doing it, and he goes to jail for doing it. But you know what? He's actually the victim here. He's actually the victim because he's been traumatized by poverty and white supremacy. You know, the whole premise and the way it starts off is absolutely ridiculous and laughable. So this is where the opinion piece continues. We can't consider the story of Vick's rise and fall with understanding the context of the systematic racism that informed his life at every step, including his interactions with the criminal justice system and the American public intent on pushing people of color far more harshly than they do white people. It says, white boys make mistakes. Black boys are thugs. White boys have the whole futures ahead of them. Black boys are super predators. And again, setting this whole false premise to all of it. But don't worry, it gets better. It says, I challenge anyone, even the staunchest animal rights advocate, to look at Vick's post-2007 life and tell me he's not a blanking exemplar in redemption and rehabilitation. So if you're white and you still think Vick is the scum of the earth, perhaps your hatred is rooted in something deeper than just loving dogs. If you look up the definition of racism, by the way, and you look at racial differences, inherently superior, it's interesting because this opinion writer seems to be showing her own racism just by saying that if you're white and you think Vick is the scum of the earth, perhaps your hatred is rooted in something deeper than just loving dogs. It's amazing how she takes one race and tries to take the intentions of a race in a derogatory type of way to say that, oh, by no means are you able to think for yourself. It's because of the color of your skin you believe this way. And use that as a way to try to demean an entire race, as in, we're not allowed to criticize someone who went to federal prison for fighting and torturing animals. And this is part of the big problem that we have. And I know people listening right now, and this is absolutely meant to be the honest truth, and it is, because opinion writers like this person, Beth, can't understand. I think people listening, they realize they don't have a hatred for other people because of the color of their skin. They know that they're not racist. And there's some opinion columnist that'll try to call them that because of their opinions based on the actions of that person. And they'll try to go out there and go out of their way to try to force this, you know, square peg in the round hole to say, no, 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 the only explanation is because you're inherently racist. They're not going to be convincing me, mostly because she knows nothing about anyone. She knows nothing about the people she's criticizing. I mean, she's just race baiting, and actually she's a big fraud. So this is what we're faced up with over and over and over. It's just garbage. So it's worth calling out, and it's also worth noting that these type of commentaries could be equally pushed back and looked at. And mostly, a lot of times, they're exhibiting signs of their own racism by trying to make it sound like one race is, superior or not superior to the other. Let me go to Big Al in Florissant. Hi. Big Al, how you been, man?
Merry Christmas, buddy.
Merry Christmas.
Hey, like I said before, on one of the best shows in the city, and I don't know how you pulled it off just getting here as soon as you have, but you've already won our hearts. Thanks for calling and setting up that lunch for me. Oh, that's right.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. All right. Now you had to pull the rug right underneath me.
But, yeah. But like I said before, I'm more Indian than Elizabeth Warren, and I'm Cherokee. So we'll start with racism. You guys stole all my stuff. You put me in North Dakota, gave me whiskey and bullets, and here we are.
Oh,
so
boy.
You want to start there? That's me.
Okay.
But here's what I'm going to tell you, Rex. My organization, Beagle Rescue, was Missouri euthanized 10 beagles when they did experimental surgery on one eye. And my organization was going to adopt them,
mm-hmm.
and they killed them.
Yeah.
And I put the beagle curse on them. And it's there we go. There's Mizzou still. So anybody that kills animals, I forgive anybody. It has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with the fact that you can sit there and watch a defenseless animal get eaten alive and hurt it. That is someone that needs serious help. And I'm sorry. There's a lot of things I can forgive, but, you know, and people do change their lives. But, man, you can't call it racism, because if it was any human being that did that, I don't care what color you are, that is just so wrong in many ways.
Yeah, so. There's a lot of people involved with that. But when you do that to an animal for your own fun and entertainment, I don't think the NFL needs to be looking at him and saying that this is the model example we want to follow.
Can I say one more thing? As a country, first off, I love everybody. We're all in the same boat together. And Jesus is the reason for the season. Merry Christmas. But can we stop throwing the racism card, especially from the black community, when we disagree? Because you know what? If there's 10 people I can count on in my life, and you know I lost my wife,
mm-hmm.
five of them are brothers, and yes, well, guess who's been there for me more than my white friends? My brothers.
Mm.
Okay? So everybody, just love each other and stop. We can all agree to disagree. Don't bring up color, okay? Stand on the facts.
Yep.
Love you.
Thanks, Big Al. Good to hear from you. Yeah, and he's right. You know, factually speaking, this person has no basis for these claims that if you are having some issues with someone that tortures animals for fun, if you think they're not the best example to be put up on a pedestal by the NFL, that somehow that makes you racist. There's no actual basis to that other than her own biases and perhaps maybe her own racism. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation, America's sports voice, KMOX.
Overnight America continues. You know, in the next hour, we're going to be joined by former law enforcement officer and the author of the book, When Cops Kill, in Blue News. His name is Lance LaRusso. Looking forward to having that conversation with him. Saying that, seems like the politicians are always the first ones to jump on their back. And, You know, we'll let him tell his story and some of his observations. That's coming up. You're not going to want to miss it. Let's go to Dane, who's in Edwardsville. Hi.
Well, good evening, Mr. Recker. How you doing this evening?
Good. I haven't heard from you in a while. How have you been?
I'm doing pretty good. I just want to make one comment. I was listening to you read this article, and the way I look at it, Ryan, I mean, this is my personal opinion. I don't judge people by their color. I judge them by their actions. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, or anything like that. It's your actions that I judge you by, not your color, your skin.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way it should be.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of times people try to demonize other people they don't know, and they try to jump on to the unknown of things that you can't necessarily prove. Right. And then they'll say that, and they'll use that as a way to try to prove a point. And it's really not a point at all. And mostly it's just going out there and trying to, you know, slam people for the reasons of whatever, you know, and I don't
exactly.
understand.
And I'm glad you brought this topic up, because a lot of people really don't want to deal with this subject, you know. But I'm going to let you go, because I know you got other callers waiting for you. And I won't be a stranger too long.
All right. That's good,
you
Dane.
You have a great day, Ryan.
All right. We'll see
you. Bye-bye.
Cool. I haven't heard from Dane in a long time. Yeah, that's where we start to see these different issues pop up, where everything has to be racist in order to justify your worldview, when it's not necessarily aligning with the reality of what's going on. And you're absolutely allowed to criticize someone that would fight and torture animals just for their own personal entertainment or for their own financial entertainment, if they're betting money on it or whatever it is. It's that. And you can look at, he was given a second chance. He was able to play. They were allowed to do all of that. And I think most people, for the most part, were a little skeptical at first, saying, are we really going to do this? But it goes to show you the freedom that teams have when it comes to signing players that are eligible. And then I think most people accepted his apology, and they were able to move on from it, whatever it may be. But here we are. I mean, okay, let's just say hypothetically, anyone that had some sort of major crime that they committed, it doesn't mean that anyone has to accept them as the role model anymore. It doesn't matter that just because they were able to get out of jail and they were able to serve their time, that you have to trust them anymore for doing that. It doesn't mean anything, really. And the fact that all of these people signed the petition goes to show you there are a lot of people that do care that they're not going to idolize this person based on their past faults. And that's fine. There's really no reason to try to associate race with that sort of thing, because I can, you know, if you were to actually talk to some 30,000 or whoever signed that petition, you would probably find, and this is going to be, and if I were to handicap this like I was a Las Vegas handicapper, I would say that out of the 30,000, maybe 10 of them had some sort of racial motivation behind it. It's a very low number, minuscule number, not enough to try to justify that this is a big problem with, you know, white supremacy in today's world. Coming up in the next hour, Lance LaRusso is the former law enforcement officer. I'm going to get his take on how he says politicians seem to always jump on their backs immediately after something happens somewhere. And certainly here in the city of St. Louis, it's a constant conversation with the way police handle certain issues, with the way politicians say police handle certain issues, with the way police interact with the public and the prosecutors. It's a really big mess here. So it's going to be good to get his take on some of this coming up. And you can always reach the show by texting in 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I'm on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast by going to KMOX.com/ONA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.